Last week, we read from John chapter 14, and we're reading from John chapter 15 this week. Next week, we're reading from John chapter 16, but we are also going back to some verses in 14. Slightly confusing, but that's because Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, and next week is Pentecost Sunday. And in a sense, we need to know what we're doing next week before we do this week. But we'll manage somehow. We'll manage. I'll explain when we come to it. We're reading from John chapter 15. John chapter 15 from verse 1. Jesus is still speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love one another." Shall we pray together? Father, we pray that we might know what you mean, what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, "I am the true vine," and that we are the branches. Help us understand what he meant when he called us friends. Help us now to open our minds so that the Holy Spirit will illuminate all that you want to teach us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We like the idea of friends, don't we? Everyone likes to have friends. And most of us know who our friends are. And I think that's true the world over. One of the world's most popular programs is called Friends. And although the episodes were made some time ago, you can still get them almost without ceasing on some channels in this country and many channels around the world. And my daughters are a new generation who like this program, Friends. What is it about the Friends program? Well, surely, apart from lots of other things, it's because we see friendship between human beings, people connecting with one another. It's attractive. I wonder what Jesus meant when he talked about making us his friends, calling us friends. Well, we're going to have a little bit of a look at that this morning. But he doesn't start with that, does he? The beginning of our passage, he started with something quite different, or at least it seems to be quite different. He's talking about a vine. But it does all tie together eventually. I'm told that in Hampton Court, there is a vine, a grapevine, which is about 1,000 years old. It has one root, which is 2 feet thick or more. And some of the branches are 200 feet long. It's quite some vine. And despite its age, the vine produces grapes, several tons, I understand, every single year. And some of those fruit, some of that fruit, some of the grapes, are on the smaller branches, 200 feet away from the main stem. And yet they're still bearing sweet, delicious fruit because they're connected. Connected to the vine. Life flowing from one single root out through the branches of the vine, bringing nourishment and strength to each of them. That's what the purpose of the vine is, to bring that nourishment, to bring that life, if you like, to the branches. I think there are three questions that we might want to ask today about the passage that we've just been reading. Because Jesus says, I am like a vine. I am the source of life. Remain in me. You need to be a branch that's rooted in me, not one that's not rooted, not remaining in me. And you need to be a branch that's bearing fruit. So we might ask, are we connected to the vine this morning? Are you? Am I? Is the life of Christ flowing in us? That's the first question. If that is true, then what sort of fruit should we be producing? That's the second question. And the third question, how much fruit are we producing in our lives? Is it none, some, or lots? An abundance of fruit. That's three questions we might ask us this ask ourselves this morning. So I'm going to do them one by one. Is that all right? Seems logical, doesn't it? The first question is, are we connected to the vine, to Jesus? Is the life of Jesus flowing through us? Are we one of those branches or not? Jesus said, I am the true vine. Why did he say that? I'm intrigued by this because we have to do this in context. Of course we have to do this in context. Jesus has been speaking with his disciples. You go back to John 13 on the night that Jesus was betrayed and he took bread and wine. But before that he'd taken off his outer garments. He'd put on a towel, he put on some kind of something to protect himself. He'd knelt down, he'd washed his disciples' feet. And then he starts to teach them because he loves them so much. He wants to prepare them for what's going to happen. He wants to include them in his purposes for the whole of humanity. We looked a bit at that last week. And we're part of that too. That invitation is open to us. And he talks to them in John chapter 14. About going to prepare a place. And then he goes on and talks about the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that next week. But one of the main things that he said is about being the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you go back to John chapter 10 and 11, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life. There is no life apart from me. And he said, I'm not going to be with you for very much longer, but I will go and another helper will come. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, will be released into the world. He will be with you, my presence with you. This is the promise of Jesus. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples rather like we're trying to learn today. And sometimes it's a little bit hard just trying to concentrate, isn't it? You see, you're asleep, aren't you? Already. Let's do this. No, you're not, but it's hard just listening to me. I find it hard, and I'm me. And at the end of John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples, come on, let's go. So by the time we get to John chapter 15, they've gone somewhere. And if we read in Matthew's gospel, what they did at the end of their time in the upper room together, after communion, what we call communion, they sang a hymn and they went out to Mount Olivet, the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus and his friends wind up in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says at the end of John 14, come on, let's go. And I can imagine him as they're walking along to get to the Mount of Olives and they pass a vine. And Jesus says, look, guys, I've been trying to tell you about me being the life and about the Holy Spirit coming. Let me do it this way. Let me give you a picture. This is the vine. I'm like the vine. I am the true vine. And you're like these branches out here and they're all bearing fruit. And they're bearing fruit because the life of the vine is flooding through them. That's like it is. You've got to be in me. You've got to be connected with me. Everyone in Jerusalem would have known this particular image. It may not be quite the best image for us because we're not in that kind of Mediterranean climate. We can grow vines, but they're not really, despite the Hampton Court example, as spectacular. I remember being in Israel, and probably one of the memories that most lingers with me, you know, you have those memories where you can kind of transport yourself back and you can feel what it was like. We sat in a little sort of cafe area and we drank together with our party. There were quite a lot in our party. And it was underneath a vine. Do you remember that? The vine and the grapes were just hanging off it. In that part of the world, everyone would know about this. It's very hard for us to think of an alternative because it's such a good picture. And I haven't been able to come up with one. But the basic point is still the same, that we have no life on our own. Only as we are connected into the Lord Jesus, into the vine, do we have any life to speak of. And so the first question for us this morning is this: am I connected to the vine? Is that where your life is? I can't answer it for you. I can only say that if you're not connected to Jesus through the forgiveness of your sins because of what he did on the cross, that you have accepted that you accepted you are a sinner in need of his forgiveness and the grace of God operating in your life, the Bible's verdict is quite simply, that isn't what life is. It's death. If you're not connected, you're dead. But if you are connected, you're enjoying life in all its fullness. Are you connected this morning? Because it's the most important thing for us. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. But let's assume for one moment that we're answering that and we're saying, yes, we're connected. We're in Jesus. The second question is equally important. What is the fruit of Jesus' life in our life? What is that fruit that we as the branches of the vine are supposed to be producing? Some people, when you read the books about this passage, some people say, well, it's about obedience. Jesus is talking quite a lot about obedience here. This fits the context. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you won't just listen to what I say, but you'll put it into practice in your life. Obedience. We've got the joy, as you'll hear again later on, in 3 weeks, is it? 3 weeks' time of baptism. We've got two people being baptized now. Two people are being baptized. It is simply a matter of obedience, because Jesus said that we were to go and baptize in his name and make disciples. Later on we'll see an example of that, a testimony of someone, not a young person, but an older person who has come to faith in Christ, even though they have been connected to church for a long time, but has come to believe it's a mark of obedience to be baptized. But there are many other ways in which we need to be obedient to Christ's words. And one of the things that we need to take seriously, being obedient. Is that what this fruit is? Others have said it's about the fact that we should be, as Christians, producing other Christians. It's one of the fundamental things about fruit, isn't it? It has seeds in it. It is self-replicating. It produces yet more fruit. And if we are Christians and we claim to be connected into the life of Jesus and his heart is for people, for others, then we should be those who are introducing others into that same life, the life of the Lord Jesus. Others say it's about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which Paul talks about in Galatians. And that's certainly a sort of byproduct of the Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus being rooted into his life, will be, I guess, the fruit of the Spirit. Now that is really borrowed from elsewhere. It's not the context here. And the last area that it might be is love, because here, as all through these chapters in John's Gospel, we hear again, love each other, love one another, love. Greater love has no man that he lays down his life for his friends. Which of these fruit is Jesus talking about here? Do you want to vote on it? Hey, we could eliminate one, couldn't we? And then next week we could come back and have another vote and eliminate another one. That's how you do things. Actually, we don't need to do that. You don't need to do that because we are qualified to work it out. Jesus says we will recognize the fruit. By their fruits you will know them, he says. So we're all kind of fruit inspectors. Do they have fruit inspectors at Brogdale? I'm sure they do, don't they? The quality control people picking out the ones or on the farm. I'm sure there's some sort of quality control, but so we'll do a bit of quality control here. We'll be fruit inspectors, and we're trying to find the right fruit here. Let's answer some questions very quickly. Is obedience to the Lord Jesus something that you would expect the life of Jesus in us to produce? Yes or no? Some nods. You're not brave enough, are you? Well, yes it is, isn't it? This is not going to be difficult, honest. Is the idea that we reproduce other Christians something that Jesus would want to do in us, do you think? Do you think he wants us to be active in drawing people to himself? Think about some of the things he said. Is that yes or no? Yes. You're more confident now. Is the fruit of the Spirit a byproduct of the life of Jesus working in us? Love, joy, peace, etc. Yes? Yeah. And love in particular, because of all that Jesus says, is love something that the life of Jesus would generate in people who follow him? Yeah. Well done, fruit inspectors. We've got our answer. Because the answer is all of them, isn't it? Not just one or this or that. That's all of this. All of this is what really Jesus wants to see in our lives. This is all fruit. I think I'd have to say that probably the idea of love is paramount, and sort of with that, the idea of obedience being the mark of love, because of what Jesus says before and after this. It's saturated in these commands to love one another. And then Jesus says, how do I know you're loving me? It's, well, you love someone when you obey them, when you obey the commands that I have given. That's how you show that you love me. That's how I show, says Jesus, that I love my Father in heaven, because I'm obedient to him. So the same is true for you. You can't really be loving if you're not being obedient. But this thing about loving, and this is quickly, we're going to go to the end of our reading and look at this friends thing and then come back if that's all right, because there's so much in here, isn't there? Jesus says, greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends. He's talking about himself, of course. He loves this idea of laying down a life. He speaks of it elsewhere in John's Gospel, because that's what Jesus did for his friend. He laid his life down. He sacrificed his life for his friends. And in this context, Jesus is not only trying to say, look, guys, this is what I'm going to be doing for you. This is what I am doing for the world. He's saying, if you want to show that you love people, that's what you've got to be like as well. That's what friends do. Do you know, I have resisted. No, that's not quite true. I was going to say I've resisted Facebook. I am there, but you'll never find me. Okay? Because I'm not interested in that side of it. I know lots of people are. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I've spoken before about the interesting discussions we've had with our children about this. But one thing I actually hate, and I'm not being critical of individuals here. I hate this idea of your friends, because it becomes a competition. And people have got 100 friends and 200 friends and 300 and what have you. And I know there are some people who are in a little bit of a race to see how many friends they can get signed up. And I just don't like that. And I mean, I like the idea of keeping in touch, but I don't like this kind of competitive angle. How many friends can you have? And I just wonder, looking at the list of friends that you often get on Facebook, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I apologize, but you can have people identify you, sort of link to you as friends. The real question is, how many of them are friends? How many would you die for? How many of those people would you lay down your life for? Because Jesus says that's a mark of what friends is all about. I want to move on from the idea of friends, as in the television program and Facebook, to the idea of Jesus saying, dying to yourself and living your life, giving it away, laying it down for others. That's what real friends are all about, because there's a friend which sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus says, I'm going to be your friend. And that's what it means to be a friend. You're my friends if I do what I command you. Not if you just want a nice feeling. Not if you just want to have a kind of, oh, aren't we all great living together kind of thing. This is about sacrifice. This is about a love which goes a lot further and a lot deeper. It's the Greek word, you know this, a lot of you I'm sure, agape, which is translated here as love. It's not eros, it's not erotic love, it's not philos, brotherly or sisterly love, family love, or love for friends. It's not that. It's not storge, family love. It's these are all valid and important forms of love, and in a language which has got different words for all these different kind of loves, it's great to distinguish them. In our language, we don't distinguish in quite the same way. Jesus is using a different word for the love of the kind of friendship he's talking about. They're consistent. The Gospels are consistent in using this agape for love, which is love for people who can't pay you back, who cannot give you anything back whatsoever. But your love goes out to them. And you don't love them because they are like you, or because they make you feel good, or because there's a reciprocal arrangement, or because you enjoy their company. You love them. You love them because God says love people, and love people like that. Be that kind of person. Be that kind of friend. And it's something we've got to get very straight, I believe, in the community of God's people. There was a sign, apparently, in the old Wild West, which said, horses for everyone. And if you read the small print underneath, it says, for skinny people, we have skinny horses. For fat people, we have fat horses. For disabled people, we have disabled horses. My voice went up then, didn't it? For people who have never ridden horses, we have horses that have never been ridden. And we live in a world where that has happened. It's all personalized. It's all individualized. You can get exactly what you want, tailored to fit you. And much of our modern life, and when we're talking about spiritual growth and the kind of fruit that God wants to see in our lives, or the kind of people we're meant to be and what kind of fruit that's meant to be, there's this modern heresy now of thinking that it's got anything to do with community and with other people. It's all individual. It's all about me. So it's my faith. It's my relationship with the Lord Jesus that really matters. We have to remember that this kind of friendship, this kind of fruit, this kind of living that Jesus wants to see reproduced in you and me is all about being together, being one of this community of God's people. Peter said in one of his letters, once you were no people, now you are God's people and you belong together. We have the image at Pentecost next week, surely, of the disciples standing with Peter as he preached. 3,000 responded, but it wasn't just Peter. The rest of them were there. There was solidarity. They belonged together. They were working together for the Lord Jesus. And this is a powerful image, the vine and the branches. The branches can only exist or bear fruit if they're connected through the vine. It's an image of the body of Christ. It's an image of the church. It's what we're meant to be. And our relationships together should be that strong. G.K. Chesterton said, a man can no more possess a private religion than he can possess a private sun or moon. I'll come back to this in just a moment because we've got to move on. That's the kind of fruit. So the first question is, are we connected? Are we abiding in Christ? Are we remaining in him, the vine? The second question, what kind of fruit should we be producing? We've been talking about it. A kind of self-sacrificial love for one another, starting with the body of Christ and reaching out and ministering to our community, the like of which the world does not experience anywhere else through Jesus. And the third question is, how much are we producing? How much am I producing? How much are you producing of this fruit? Is it no fruit? Is it some fruit? Or is there an abundance of fruit? Well, Jesus talks about branches that bear no fruit in verse 2 and in verse 6. There's a distinction between the two, which is quite subtle. I need to just quickly do it. Jesus says that the gardener, God the Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And in verse 6, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. So in verse 2, we've got a branch bearing no fruit that is in me, in Jesus. And in verse 6, we've got a branch bearing no fruit that hasn't remained in Jesus and is thrown away. The first fruit, the first branch rather, that bears no fruit, I believe, describes the kind of Christian, the kind of person who is still connected in some way, but perhaps like the vine where one of the branches is trailing in the dirt and the dust, it isn't getting the sun, it isn't getting all that it needs in order to grow properly, and so there is no fruit. It might be like someone who became a Christian, but actually then did nothing with their faith. It wasn't nurtured. They fell out of fellowship with God's people. They stopped coming to church. They maybe don't read their Bible and don't make time for prayer. After all, life is so busy, isn't it? Why? We don't have time to do things like this. It's modern Christianity now. What happens to that branch? Well, Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish. I think Jesus wants to pick that branch up. It's interesting that the word that is used, the original word that's used, where it says he cuts off every branch in me, the word for cut off can mean take away, or it can mean lift up. I like the image of God the Father lifting up that branch and saying, there's still time. There's still time. I want to see fruit. But the warning here is that the second kind in verse 6 is the branch that doesn't remain in me. What happens if you drift away? What happens if those habits of not being part of a fellowship of God's people and not coming to his word and not allowing God to speak, what if they become ingrained? What if they become hardened? What if actually we lose touch with the vine? The warning is this. What use is the branch? Absolutely nothing. The wood of the branch doesn't produce anything. Ezekiel says it's not even strong enough to be a tent peg. It won't make any kind of fire. All you can do is lop it away. It's all in the fruit. So the question for you and me is, how much fruit are we producing? Are we producing no fruit in our lives? Or are we producing some fruit in our lives? Some fruit. What is it that that actually restricts the production of fruit? Well, let's read verses 2 to 4. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's the clue. No branch can bear fruit by itself. What is the thing that prevents us from producing more of the fruit that God wants to see in our lives? It's self. It's trying to do things for self, by ourselves, on our own, in our own way. And when that's happening, what does God the Father do? In order that we produce more fruit, he prunes. And any gardener will tell you that pruning, well, I guess if you're the branch, pruning's painful. But it's productive. And sometimes God has to discipline us. Hebrews 12 says that we should ensure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters. What child is not disciplined by his father? So that we will be more fruitful. How much fruit are we producing? No fruit, some fruit, but God needs to deal with us in such a way that we will produce more. Or an abundance of fruit. Verses 7 to 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if we know the words of Jesus and apply them, we're obedient to them, we may ask whatever we wish and it will be given. Did I hear that verse right? It will be given to my Father's glory. Yes, if we abide in him, it will radically change who we are and what we wish for. And our faith is based on the depth of his love and the promise of his presence and the knowledge that we're not alone. So we will ask for things which are good for others rather than being selfish. We're starting to see now what an abundance of fruit might look like. And I'm longing that this church is a place where we are a vine. We have the true vine of Jesus and we are the branches. And we belong to one another and we see that kind of relationship between us in community and then reaching out to others in the name of Jesus to share it. It's why this Thursday at our church meeting we are continuing to look at our membership of covenant so it says this kind of thing. And that's what we're here for. And that's why we belong together. And that's what being a member of anybody is all about. This is my members. These are my members. Of my body. We are a body together to change the imagery. That's why we're doing this whole covenant thing. Be honest, we're all searching for a sense of belonging, for a place. And it's so hard in our culture to find it. So many people miss out on it. In a literal geographical sense, so many people have moved from their roots and where they belong to somewhere else. Like a fish out of water, it's very hard to make that community. People are trying to make that community on the internet all the time with social networking. And it can only ever be a secondary thing to the real living presence of rubbing against one another in our real lives and caring for one another in our pastoral area groups, caring for one another in the membership of this church and reaching out to others in the name of the Lord Jesus to share that kind of love, that self-sacrificing love with young people, with older people, through the ministries of this church and beyond. Surely. And to be part of that is a place where we're rooted and a place where we have the life of Jesus flooding through us from the vine. The giant sequoia tree can measure hundreds of feet in height, 10 foot or more in the girth round the trunk. They can be thousands of years old, yet they have very shallow root systems, sequoias. The way they withstand the wind and the stresses of so many years so that they don't fall down, they intertwine their roots with one another, drawing their strength from one another. The challenge here for us, I think, is to practice what we preach. So three questions. Are you connected to the vine? Thank you. And if so, what kind of fruit does God want to see in our lives? It's that kind of obedient, self-sacrificing love in community. And thirdly, how much of it do you see in your life, in our life, in our church's life? None? Some? Or an abundance? Let's pray. Father, please. Please, we are excited about a picture of an abundant, fruitful vine. And we can do it, we can't do this on our own. We're just a branch. But we want to be part of that kind of vine. We want the fruit not selfishly to enjoy, but to share with others. Because we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but by you. Lord, we pray, help us to search our hearts as we come to communion. Search ourselves and come before you and receive your cleansing and your forgiveness and your love and your grace, that we might be a people who truly are branches grafted into the true vine of Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.